Just a moment. Hans will come forward and read us a scripture lesson. But first, I wanted to take a moment to welcome and introduce our guest preacher for the day. Excuse me. This is the Reverend Teresa Kim Petsinowski. A lot of practice went into that. She's a hospice chaplain, a mother, and the author of a beautifully illustrated book, Mother God, which explores some of the feminine pictures of God we find in the Bible. And we look forward to hearing from you. May God fill you with wisdom and grant blessing to our ears. Amen.
A reading from the Proverbs of Solomon about chachama, wisdom. Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom cry out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, beside where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or the fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there to set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in humankind. The word of God.
Good morning. Will you please join me in a word of prayer? O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we come before you and ask that your words would pierce clearly through this sermon. May there be more of you and less of me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Today's text comes from a rich passage in Proverbs where the writer chronicles the personification of wisdom. The writer begins by telling us where wisdom can be found. Wisdom is on the heights where she can see and be seen. Where is wisdom? She is at the crossroads of a street with everyday activity, folks going to and fro to make ends meet and put another meal on the table. Where else is wisdom? She is beside the front gates of the town, that place where economic and legal transactions take place. If you recall in the book of Ruth, Boaz meets with the elders and her cousin at the front of the city gates, and there he agrees to take Ruth on as his wife. Wisdom is at the front gates, and she is also at the entrance of doorways, the threshold from one place to another. And in this threshold, she calls out, and wisdom tells her own story. Wisdom begins by telling us, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. Her calling reminds us that we live in a cosmological world where our existence, our flourishing, is interconnected with one another and with the created world. So when we look from verse 4 to 22, we are already seeing a creation drama told in a first-person monologue by wisdom herself. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work. the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first before the beginning of the earth. Unless we move too quickly in our text today, I want to pause because here in Proverbs 8, wisdom is giving us yet another creation story, unique and different from the other two creation stories in Genesis 1. Because before the heavens and the earth, before the sky, the land, and the sea, says wisdom, the Lord created me at the beginning. Now, depending on your version, the Hebrew here might be translated created me. Another translation is possessed me. And yet another is brought me forth. The imagery of God birthing wisdom is woven throughout the passage. The Lord brought me forth. The Lord birthed me at the beginning of his work. Wisdom goes on to recount the Lord's acts of creation, establishing the heavens, drawing forth the skies, separating the waters from the foundations of the earth. I was there, she declares, delighting in the human race. Wisdom's role in this creation story fits perfectly with God's declaration in Genesis 1:26, where God says, "Let us make humans in our image, after our likeness." Wisdom is not a passive bystander in this epic tale. She is co-conspiring with the Creator. And we see another facet of wisdom in verse 30, where she says, "Then I was beside him." And the Hebrew word aman here is understood in three very different ways. Aman can be as a little child, as a master worker, and as a tool likened as a blueprint for architects. Some commentators note that the ambiguity in the Hebrew here may be deliberate, because just as God encompasses more than one adjective and description, so too does wisdom. Wisdom is a little child, a master worker, a blueprint for creation. Wisdom is rejoicing before God and in God's created world. She is dynamic, active, responsive, and so much more. Our text today gives us a glimpse of a broader and theologically abundant tradition called Sophia, the word for wisdom in Greek. In Hebrew, her name is Chokmah. In the Wisdom of Solomon, the writer describes her, "For God loves only those who dwell with wisdom. She is indeed more splendid than the sun, and she outshines all the constellations." Wisdom is a prophet, a teacher, a guide. She is a craftsperson with God at creation, contributing to, designing with, and delighting in the world's creation. Feminist theologian Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza writes that the earliest Sophia traditions that can still be traced to the margins of early Christian works intimate a perspective that combines Jewish prophetic wisdom and basileia, which is a Greek word that means the political realm of God or God's vision of a transformed creation and world. These traditions are central to a political, open-ended, and cosmopolitan religious vision as struggle and well-being for everyone. Now, I really realize that was a bit of a mouthful, so we'll go over it again. A political, open-ended, cosmopolitan religious vision as struggle and well-being for everyone. Wisdom in the crossroads, the heights, the doorways, and city gates is every bit a public theologian. In verse 20 of Proverbs 8, she tells us, "I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice." Wisdom calls out to us, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is for all who live." Wisdom calls us, but are we looking for her? Are we in tune enough with her ways that we can discern her work of justice and righteous making in our world? What would wisdom, who delighted in the human race at creation, say to us about the way we live and move and have our being? What would she say to us about the political decisions that prioritize guns over safety and well-being of our beloved humankind? And at this crossroads in American political history, what can we learn from wisdom about laws that prohibit reproductive justice, bodily autonomy, and human flourishing? On the heights and besides the way, how will we listen to wisdom when lawmakers and fellow Christians cry out about being pro-life while our grocery shelves are still achingly empty for things like baby formula to feed our very young? How do we imagine wisdom's religious vision as struggle and well-being for everyone in a land where you are forced to give birth, but the maternal, prenatal, labor, and delivery bills can drive you into medical debt and bankruptcy? And how are we supposed to raise our children in a country where we compete for access to clean drinking water, livable wages, communities free from violence, and affordable health care? In wisdom's path, she has no place for the ethics of domination, that ethical hierarchy that places people of certain races, gender, sexual orientation, class, and ability as superior over others. And in an ethic of domination, it upholds systems of injustice. For if you truly believe that some people are inferior to you, then you will actively work to build power in a matrix where those designated as the superior ones are always in control. Instead, wisdom invites us to envision paths of righteousness and liberation for all of God's people, because wisdom, who was there at the beginning of creation, knows that we are all made in her image. Wisdom calls to us, and she teaches us to choose the better. Choose equity over power. Choose clarity over confusion. Choose the path where people have control over what happens to their bodies, from the time they are children and learn bodily consent, to the decisions they make over their health and reproductive systems, all the way to the final chapter, where they name their own way of cultivating dignity and comfort in death and dying. Wisdom gives us the gift of choice. It is a gift we should be able to receive, but some in our world are focused and bent on controlling our choices, our bodies, and our lives. But wisdom shows us there is a better way. Wisdom also teaches us that joy, creativity, and playfulness are essential parts of her being. She tells us that at creation, she was daily God's delight, rejoicing before God always. I love the fact here that the Hebrew can be translated as little child. We catch glimpses of childlike wonder, maybe in our own children or the children around us. And when we witness those moments, we are reminded that Jesus told us that we must become like little children in order to enter his heavenly kingdom. And as was announced this morning, I've been here this weekend for several events for my picture book, Mother God, a book that beautifully illustrates the feminine and maternal images of God throughout scripture. One of the spreads in the book is dedicated to Sophia Wisdom. It reads, "God is Sophia Wisdom, teaching what is true and right. Wisdom works, creates, orders, and plays. She calls us with joy and delight." This was one of the more challenging spreads to give art direction from my illustrator and editor. But what we came up with was the idea of Sophia Wisdom as a conductor. But instead of conducting instruments or singers, she is conducting the many facets of her being. So the illustrations include the visual arts, literature, dancing, an architectural blueprint for a house, and a young activist. And there is also an image of a turtle with an island on its back that references the American indigenous legend that this land is in the shape of a giant turtle. And if you look at a picture of North America from space, you will see that shape taking place. And it reminds us of the wisdom that the indigenous people of this land have cultivated for centuries. I wrote Mother God in the fall of 2020. And can you think back to that time? We were all in lockdown. Oh, yes, I see you. It was a lovely time, right? When our collective fear and isolation was really quite overwhelming. And as I look back on the many challenging and painful times in my life, I discovered that the joy of creating, whether it is creating lesson plans, music, paintings, creating meals for others to share in, or ideas, has provided me with such rich spiritual sustenance. And I wonder if that is true for you as well today. So I invite us to reflect deeply on wisdom's ways this morning. How do we follow wisdom's ways for liberation in a system of domination where we are constantly pressured to identify with and conspire with those who have status and power? Because Jesus, the one we follow, led us in a downward way, a way that was free of the systems of power and hierarchy in our world today. Where do we discern wisdom's calling in our everyday lives, in our school, our work, the areas we are passionate about, the political landscapes we find ourselves in, and our commitment as followers of Jesus with one another? How will we respond to wisdom's call today, and how is she calling you, even now, to follow in her spirit? For wisdom, creation, joy, and justice are deeply intertwined in a divine dance. So, church, I pray that we will have a theological imagination and courage to join in wisdom's dance of creation, joy, and justice making. May it be so. Amen.